Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is When the Heat is On. The heat's been on at my house for a little while now. I got involved in a new church that's starting up in my area, and it's a church that, unlike most others, preaches the uncompromised Word of God and is unafraid to call sin out, even in the congregation, and just doesn't put up with any nonsense. Well, and signs and wonders are already, you know, deliverance is happening in the church, people are getting healed, that sort of thing. So, you know, that's the kind of church that the devil really don't like. He really, really fears a church that really can move in the Word. And so the heat's been on for everybody that's involved in the church. And I'm part of the staff, so I'm involved. So we've been coming under very heavy attack. All prayers appreciated on that front for protection. And I mean, I walked into the church yesterday and said, I need prayer, you guys. I just need prayer, to the pastor and his wife, because I came under a different kind of attack yesterday than I have before. Someone at my old address in Princeton, the Princeton post office, never did get my forwarding done right. It always was a problem ever since I moved to Arkansas. You know, those of you who sent donations that got sent back to you know what I'm talking about. And so I get a bill in the mail from my Staples credit card, which is a JPH credit card that, you know, like if I need to buy a laptop or something like that, so I have to pay for it all at once. And I thought, oh, wow, I haven't gotten a bill from them in a while. And I thought, wait a minute, I thought I paid them off. Well, I had paid them off. But they had sent out a new card, which the Princeton Post Office failed to forward. And the next resident of my former residence opened it and maxed that baby out. Almost $1,000 worth of charges on that. Of course, I have filed the appropriate reports. It's not going to end up being something I have to pay, but it took me half a day yesterday and all morning this morning to file those reports and put the appropriate fraud alerts and things on my credit report, you know, and all the stuff that you have to do when somebody steals from you, like in that particular way. So I'm thinking that that new laptop that this woman bought and the other stuff are not going to be worth the jail time she will do for that. So here we go. So the heat has been on here. There's been a lot of trials and attacks coming at, you know, the people involved in this new church. And oh, y'all, I can't even begin to tell you. So I was out walking the other day and I was looking at the, you know, the pretty fall leaves that have fallen. And usually I look forward to the fall leaves. Fall's my favorite season and I love when the leaves change color and they float down on the breeze, you know, and stuff like that. But here where I live now in Arkansas, those leaves have taken on a new meaning because those are the perfect cover for copperhead snakes. Copperheads love to hide in piles of leaves and surprise you. Copperheads belong to a venomous family of snakes called pit vipers. And they like to hide in pretty things like piles of leaves in the fall. Those snakes that are pit vipers are called, rattlesnakes are also pit vipers, are the very venomous snakes. And they're called pit vipers because on their head, halfway between their nostrils and their eyes, there's a pit in the side of their head. And in that pit, they sense heat. When they sense heat, they strike. And I always laugh when I read an article about it that says you can identify a pit viper by the pits right here or the fact that their pupils are not round like non-venomous snakes. And I'm thinking, do you really think I'm going to get that close to that snake to find out if it's got a pit or, you know, a snake pupil? I don't think so. But I always laugh at those articles that say that. None of us can see that far and none of us need to get that close, okay? By the time you are close enough to ID a pit viper in one of those two ways, it is too late for you. Can I just tell you that, unless that snake's dead? Pit vipers are so venomous that when you kill them, and people in Texas know, Oklahoma and other states know this, you are supposed to cut off the head and bury it minimum 12 inches down in the ground, because it can still venomize you. If you step on that, and I'd heard that years ago in Oklahoma, you step on that head, it's just like you got bit by the snake. And something I didn't know that I learned recently is when you kill like a rattlesnake, you need to step on its head and cut its head off, because its reflexes, even after death, are that it can strike you. And I'm like, that's just scary, you know? I mean, we had really large rattlesnakes in Oklahoma and in Texas. In Oklahoma, they have a rattlesnake hunt in Mangum, Oklahoma. And it's either the first or the last weekend in April every year. And people literally go out and hunt these huge rattlesnakes. I've got pictures of the snakes in the cages. And I mean, it's common for them to find 4 or 5 foot rattlers, big, big rattlesnakes, y'all. You don't want to get nailed by one of them. And if you do, you better be real close to an ER that has antivenin. Okay. So, a pit viper, because it strikes when it senses heat, they don't strike because they see you. They don't strike because you did anything to them necessarily, although they will strike for that too. They like to hide, and then when they sense the heat, they get you. That's how they get you, and especially in the dark. So I was thinking about these snakes, and I thought, man, we don't even have to do anything against them. We don't even have to do anything to annoy them, and they're going to nail us anyway. And, you know, anytime God gives a name to something, we can trust that whatever he named also has the characteristics that go with that name, right? And it occurred to me that he calls the devil that old serpent. So I think if the devil is called a serpent or a snake, that it makes sense that if we study some of the characteristics of snakes, we can learn some things about how our enemy operates. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. One of the things I was thinking about as I was walking, and I thought, okay, they strike on heat. And then I saw the similarity between the serpent, snakes, and the enemy. And I thought, what kind of heat would make our enemy strike us? And that, well, in Genesis, when the enemy first showed up, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it was the heat of the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory covered them. That's why they didn't need clothes, because it glowed so bright, it covered everything. Okay? And when you glow that bright, there's some heat somewhere, okay? Now, we put out different kinds of heat. What about the heat of anger? Let me give you an example of the enemy striking someone during the heat of anger. A long time ago, when I used to exchange letters with some people in prison to try to understand prisoners and to minister to them, there was a man I think he was in Angola prison. He was somewhere in Louisiana. And I never asked him about their crimes, but sometimes they would just want to talk about him. And this guy had been in for quite a while, and he was in for, I think, life without. He had gone into prison when he was like 21. He was from the Northeast, and him and some friends of his had taken a trip down to New Orleans, and they got to drink it in a bar. And somebody, I don't know, disrespected him or did something that set him off, and he got into a fight. He killed the man in the heat of anger. Satan saw the heat of anger, and that serpent struck, and he destroyed that man's life. He destroyed his life in just those few minutes of the heat of anger. The Bible says, you know, anger rests in the bosom of fools. And when you're upset about something, can I just tell you, it's real hard to remember that and go, okay, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to, you know, keep my senses about me. But we need to do that, because you can destroy a whole lot. The enemy can destroy a whole lot in your life through just a minute of anger. I have known people that got into arguments with people or said real ugly things to people who then died, and they could never make that right and have to live with that their whole lives. You know, and if they had just said, you know what, just let me think about this for a while, let me calm down, and then maybe I can go back and talk to that person. If they'd used wisdom, which we don't always use wisdom, but we need to use wisdom. You can cut people with words faster than you can cut them with a knife. and the wound lasts longer. I remember things that were said to me 40 years ago, y'all. And we have to forgive those things when they happen to us, but I'm just telling you, that's an area of our lives as Christians we need to have under control. What about the heat of lust? The heat of lust, you know, a bad decision one time, you can end up with AIDS. Isn't that right? I mean, the diseases that go around today, y'all, they're nothing to play around with. They got stuff the antibiotics don't cure no more. Like when I was coming up, we didn't have all that. And I wasn't like that back then, but it's really dangerous. The heat of lust can get you, and it can ruin your life. It can literally ruin your life. If you're in an extramarital affair, it can ruin your marriage. It can ruin your children's respect for you. I mean, the heat of lust is very destructive. What about the heat of passion? Let's say that you go home early one day and you find your spouse with someone else in the house. Okay, now it's real hard to keep your calm in something like that. But if let's say that you didn't have control of your flesh and you just lost it and you grabbed the shotgun and you just took them out. Okay, then in the heat of passion, they call that a crime of passion in the law. In the heat of that passionate moment, you have destroyed one or two other lives, possibly the lives of your children because you killed their parent, and possibly, very possibly, your own life. There are states that say, oh, you know, the crime of passion, we kind of overlook that. No, they don't. They're still putting people in prison for that, y'all. Okay? I'm just saying. One moment of the wrong kind of heat and the serpent can have you by the neck. So, let's talk about pit vipers. Let's talk about characteristics of snakes and see if we can glean something from the way snakes operate since God named the devil after them. There are 151 species of snakes in the pit viper subfamily. 151 has some interesting meanings. I never knew this before I researched this today. There were 151 Pokemon in the original set. I'm not a fan of Pokemon. I've heard terrible stories about demonic stuff with Pokemon, so that's why I mention that. Sonnet 151 by William Shakespeare. Let's talk about some of that. I'll just read a little bit. In Quatrain 2, for thou betraying me, I do betray. And in Quatrain 3, as his triumphant prize, proud of this pride, he has contended thy poor drudge to be, to stand in thy affairs, fall by thy sad side. And then the close of it is, no want of conscience hold is that I call her love, for whose dear love I rise and fall. And I'm sure that someone else could do a much better job of reading that, but I just wanted to point out a few lines in Sonnet 151. It talks about betrayal, talks about pride, talks about, you know, lack of conscience. Okay, here's one. Here's my favorite one, my favorite two, but one of my favorites of 151, the Statue of Liberty is 151 foot tall from the base to the top of the torch. But here's the best one. The gestation period of a goat is 151 days. I don't think that's coincidence that there's 151 species of pit vipers and the gestation period of a goat is 151 days because the goat represents Satan as well. Okay. There's also a Psalm 151. It's not in most of our Bibles. It was a psalm written by David after he defeated Goliath. And the last part of it says, I went out to meet the Philistine who cursed me by his idols, but I took his own sword out of its sheath and cut off his head, so I removed the shame from the Israelites. But think about this for a minute. You know, the devil will often take our sword and cut our heads off with it if we're not paying attention and we get caught in a moment of, you know, passion, a moment of heat. Just saying. Have y'all ever noticed that immediately after Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis, that shame was the next thing that came in the Bible? One of the things the devil does when he catches you and he gets you, you know, at a bad time, is he brings shame in. And you'll carry that shame for decades. Sometimes people carry it for a lifetime and never get over it. It was the next thing to show up in the Garden of Eden after sin was shame. Okay, because right after sin showed up, they looked down and they said, we're naked, we have to cover up. It was the shame. They had lost the Shekinah glory. Okay. All pit vipers are poisonous to humans, as is the enemy. In studying these snakes, I discovered that when they sense our heat is when they get their direction. Likewise, the demons. Serpents prefer to hunt their prey under cover of darkness. Likewise, the demons. Demons and satanic plans hate to be exposed. Demons hate to be exposed. Satan hates it when you discover his plan and you expose it and you call it out. He hates it when somebody, Jesse Duplantis, I heard this years ago, told the funniest story. I believe he was on an airplane. He was someplace at an airplane or in a conference or somewhere. And this woman came up to him and she came on to him, like big time, came on to him. Instead of going, "No, thank you, I'm a Christian, I love my wife." No, he screamed Jezebel out loud, as loud as he could. Jezebel, and like adulteress or something like that. Of course, the woman took off running. That's the way we need to treat temptation right there. We need to call it out, y'all. I thought that was hilarious. Okay. Because when you do that, you yank the cover of darkness off and expose the enemy for everybody to see. So you'll help not only yourself, you help other people too. Some vipers, I found this very interesting. I'd never heard this before. Some pit vipers have, when they are young, have very brightly colored tails. And so when they're young, they'll shake them back and forth and they'll look like brightly colored worms to lure their prey. Like they lure frogs like that. And then they, of course, kill the frogs. So they use their brightly covered, you know, colored tails as decoys. Now, y'all have heard me talk about decoys before. Satan will use a decoy on you, especially if you're believing for a mate. Oh, will he ever decoy you then? But he'll decoy you with other stuff too. The job you've been praying for. I mean, it can be anything. Where you're supposed to live, it can be anything. He loves to set up decoys and catch God's people. Water moccasins are one, the snake I hate most of all, are one of the snakes that do that. It's called, I wrote it down. It's called caudal luring. Water moccasins are one of the snakes. Did I ever tell y'all my water moccasin story? This is just bad, y'all. When I was a teenager, I encountered water moccasins for the first time. We lived way out in the country near Cedar Creek Lake in Northeast Texas. And Cedar Creek Lake being Northeast Texas, got trees and tall grass all around, you know, all around the bank. That's where you don't want to go near the water. That's where those snakes always hang out. And when I was 14, I was with some friends one day. We're just like hanging out by the lake somewhere. We're in some subdivision. I don't even remember how we got there. And we all had our swimsuits and stuff. And they're like, and the one of them goes, "Oh, I know this guy. He's just down two houses from this guy's house or something." He goes, "We can go swimming here." And the guy had a pier. So I said, "Okay, well, let's go swimming there then," which I never usually did very much that was against the rules. But I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. But so I go out of the pier and I jump in the water because I knew how to swim. And I swim out a little ways, and all of a sudden, everybody starts screaming. They're like, "Look behind you." I turn around, look, and there's a water moccasin in the water. They swim on top of the water, swimming after me with his mouth open. They are extremely territorial, and although you can read online, and they'll go, "They're really not aggressive," baloney. They are aggressive. I have encountered them numerous times. They are aggressive big time, okay? They will come after you. They are mean. Rattlesnake will try to get away from you. A water moccasin will come for you, okay? That's more like the devil. He will come for you. He's like, "You're on my turf, it's on." That's just the way it is. So that was my first close-up encounter. It might have been my second, I don't remember. But my other encounter, sometime around the same time period, we lived on this in this old farmhouse, and there was a big, like a pasture out behind it, and some barns. And then if you walked through the pastures there, we called it a tank. And what it was a big watering hole for the cows. There was a real small one, and then there was a real big one, big to us. And there was trees, dead trees and stuff in it, stuff like that. So of course the snakes hung out there. I didn't know anything about where snakes hung out, so I didn't know. So one day, I don't remember where my brother was that day, because usually we were together everywhere we went. My younger brother, but he wasn't with me that day. And I go walking out through the pasture, la la la. And I want to say it was springtime, and the weather was just starting to warm up. And with these man-made tanks, there's kind of a hump, and then, you know, down where they dig it, but up, this is where they pile all the dirt when they dig out the hole. So I topped that little ridge, and when I hit the top of that, there were about 20 water moccasins ranging in length. They get really big. They can get like 4 or 4.5 foot long, laying all over the, and they started coiling up and hissing at me. I didn't even know I could run that fast, y'all. I mean, I was fast. I had no idea I was that fast. I was booking it back to the house. I have never been so scared. And praise God in His mercy, I could have stepped over that hump and there could have been one right there. And I didn't even know they were there. And they were just sunning themselves on the bank. We swam in that tank all the time. We had like a rope swing, and we went swimming in that thing all the time. I remember one time we went swimming. I was swimming there with my older brother, and he looked across and he goes, "Oh, a 4 foot water moccasin just dropped down into the water from that tree over there." And I was like, "Really?" And it was across the pond. I was like, "Well, it's over there. We're over here." You know, I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't know they were territorial. I had no idea that was a danger. But, and they can bite underwater too, by the way. So, God in His great mercy has protected me from day one since I've been on this earth. I would never swim in something like that again. Needless to say, I wouldn't even walk around a tank like that now. But when you're a kid, you don't really know. So those are my water moccasin stories. Alrighty then. Let me tell y'all something wild. Pit vipers like to, I'll get to the wild thing in a minute. Pit vipers like to hide where you don't think to look for them. One of the biggest dangers if you're hiking, like if you're hiking up through the mountains or going anywhere like that, is if you go to step over a log or over a rock, there are often snakes that are hiding on the other side of it. They just like to hang out by those kind of things. They like to climb up on rocks when it's warm, and they like to hang out by rocks, but they also like to hang out by logs because they can kind of hide behind them, and their prey comes along and they kill them. So you can step over it, they sense the heat, and they've nailed you before you ever saw them, you know, and you're like 20 miles from home on foot. They like to hide in piles of leaves and brush, piles of refuse. Refuse, you know, is something that's no longer useful to you. Vipers, especially like rattlesnakes, don't have to be right up on you to strike you. A rattlesnake, if it's coiled up, and everybody who lives in Oklahoma, Texas knows this, if they are coiled, they have a lot of strength, especially the real big ones. I've seen really big, large rattlesnakes, y'all, like really long, 4 or 5 foot long. They coil and they hold about a third of their body above the coil. Here's the coil down here and forward of it, and that's their launching pad. And they strike a third to a half the length of their body. So if they're 5 foot long, they can strike you almost 3 foot away. And they can nail you pretty accurately, too. They get more and more accurate the longer their lives. It's not good. And a lot of vipers, how they kill you is when they strike you, their venom is, what's it called, hemotoxic. I think it's what it's called. It'll make you bleed to death on the inside. It makes you bleed. All right. My adopted granddaughter, Markayla, this is a terrifying, I have a visual like forever burned into my mind. She posted this picture on Facebook. This was back in the summer this year, 2017. I was on Facebook one day and I saw this picture come up and I was like, oh, and it was a picture of a large rattlesnake. It was probably 3, 3.5 foot long that got in her house. She lives with my grandson. And this snake, they keep pet mice. They have some pet mice. And this snake got in their house through an air vent. In their house. She comes home from work, walks in the room. She's like, luckily, praise you, Jesus, they had glue boards out to catch some kind of insect or something like spiders or I don't know, something, because they're fiddleback spiders in Oklahoma. And they'll mess you up. And this rattlesnake, thank God, the middle of its body landed on this glue board and it couldn't move. And so John had to kill it. My grandson had to kill it. But I don't think I will ever forget the picture of that rattlesnake inside their house. That just scared me so bad. Because what if it had come in at night? You know, what if it had gotten her dog? She has a schnauzer. Could have gotten her dog. Could have gotten them. They could have got up in the middle of the night and it could have nailed them right there. It just scares me to even think about that. And I had a friend that told me a story earlier this year. He said he had this friend, a woman friend, and she lived alone. And she lived someplace that she lived. There were, you know, it was kind of a little bit snaky. And he told her, he said, well, if you ever, you know, see a snake, call me. I'll come help you. She calls him up one night late at night. It's like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And there is a water moccasin in her kitchen, inside her house, in the kitchen. And it was like three and a half foot long. So it was a good size water moccasin. So he goes over to her house. She's up on top of the refrigerator, y'all. She's like up on it. She's like, I ain't coming down. If I'd seen a water moccasin in my house, I would run out the door with my car keys and my purse, and I would say, rinsed on the first, bye. They could have the whole house. I don't care. I'm not going back to a house that's got a venomous snake in it, especially if you don't even know how it got in there. I mean, that thing will mess you up. Okay. Rattlesnakes and cottonmouths both bite underwater. Can and will. I want to tell y'all one more story. This is, oh, this scared me so bad. This just happened the other day. My pastor and his wife hear from God very clearly. My pastor's wife gets visions frequently. I mean, frequently. And she hears God very clearly. And we had been talking a lot, you know, recently about the enemy and the enemy's attacks, because the attacks have come against, especially the three of us, so strongly, so strongly. And I don't know about the deacon and his wife, but they've come against us so strong. And we're just like battle weary at this point. And probably why I look so rough today. So when I went to church on Sunday, I was talking to them after church, and I had gotten for days, that the enemy was going to try to kill the pastor's wife. Her name's Christy, and she's like my best friend up here. And I knew that he was going to try to kill her, and I thought, I've got to tell him. So we were sitting there at the table, and I told him, I said, I got to tell y'all something. And I told her, I said, the enemy is going to try to kill you. And I see two ways. I keep getting the same thing over and over. Whenever I keep getting something in my spirit over and over, it's God showing me this. And I saw poison, and I saw a car accident. And she turned around to him, and she said, I told you. So God had already told her. And so me knowing was just a confirmation confirming what he had told her. So now all three of us know. So we're talking about this. And she said for days she kept thinking about poison. How would, you know, he kill her with poison? And they were trying to get another couch for their house, because their couch is real uncomfortable. So they had found one online, and they went to these people's house and was going to buy it for like $50. And it was a better couch. They pull up in the driveway, and God spoke to her and said, don't get that couch. And so she told pastor, she said, we can't get the couch. And then he showed her a vision. He showed her a vision, showed her that the night before, a very large rattler, we have timber rattlers up here, which are extremely venomous. A large timber rattler had crawled up inside that couch, and he showed her how it was going to get her when she was laying on the couch. Her dogs were going to bark at it and get it all, you know, agitated, and it was going to come through there, and she was going to be laying down, and it was going to nail her in the face. One of the things that makes a venomous snake bite hard to survive is if you get bit anywhere close to your heart. So I still have that visual in my mind of that rattlesnake in a couch, and I don't think I will ever buy a couch anywhere besides in a store again, ever, ever, ever. Okay, I just want to recap what we saw about pit vipers. Okay, so we can think about the ways the enemy operates when he wants to strike at us, okay? They strike when they sense heat. Okay, pit vipers hide in pretty things, like piles of leaves. They strike when they sense heat. You know, Satan waits for opportunity with us. Sometimes a demon is attached to you or attached to your house or somewhere around you, but he doesn't attack right away because he's waiting for a more opportune setup where he can do more damage. It's like if somebody, let's say there's a sniper and he's trying to take out a target in war, and he might forego one shot so he can get a little closer to the target. Why? Because you can hurt them worse from up close. It's the same reason the devil attacks us through the people closest to us. He can do more damage. Okay, There's 151 species of pit vipers. There's 151 days of gestation of a goat, which also represents the devil. And the Statue of Liberty is 151 feet tall. Pit vipers are poisonous to humans. They get their direction from our heat. When they sense the heat, then that gives them the direction they're going to go into attack. They prefer to work in darkness. So do demons. They act as decoys to lure their prey, especially when they're very young. They hide where you don't think to look for them so they can get you before you even know that they're there. They hide in piles of things that are no longer useful, piles of refuse. That struck my spirit real strong, so somebody needs to hear that. Okay, the Lord's showing me right now, there's a man who's listening to me. You're involved with two women. You're not real heavily involved with either one of them, but one of them is a decoy sent by the enemy. And the enemy is going to strike you hard through her, really hard. The Lord says you need to develop your discernment and see which one she is. I see that she's pretty. She may be a lot prettier than the other one. I can't tell, but she's pretty. You need to use your discernment, sir, and you need to distance yourself from that one because that's a rattlesnake waiting to strike. The other one isn't, but that one is. Okay. As with everything that we may encounter in our walk through this world, the Lord our God has already made provision for how to deal with these. In his word, Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. In other words, we're going to step on the snakes. Adder here means a venomous snake or a viper or an asp. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The adder is the viper. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That means that he's under our feet. Okay. Luke 10:19 said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All means all. Okay. That means all. We have power over the enemy. We have to use the power that we have. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to get beat down in the heat of the battle. I'm feeling a little beat down right now myself, you know, because the enemy saw what I was going through and he just took the opportunity to strike. So you're already kind of beat up, you know, because I'm going through this season of grief and stuff. And I'm already beat up from that. And he comes in and hits me with this, you know, 1-2 punch with this woman stealing my credit card and maxing it out where I have to go through all this exhausting stuff to try to straighten that mess out. But, you know, that's how he does. The whole key, when he strikes you like that, when he gets you, especially if you're already beat up, which we're going to see a lot of in days coming, as y'all know, is to keep standing no matter what. Don't go down. I'm not going down. I'm not going down. I may suffer, you know, and I may be weary, but I'm going to keep standing. I'm not backing down. I've taken ground and I'm holding on to it. And you should too. I hope that this is useful to y'all. I hope that you will really take it to heart. And remember, if God named the devil after a snake, there was a reason why he named him after snakes. It's because he acts like one. They slither through the grass, you know, and they hide out. And they're sneaky. He's sneaky like that. And they just wait for their prey. They're very patient. The devil is patient. He is patient as far as he's willing to wait to destroy more in your life. He's willing to forego one strike, one shot, so he can do more destruction by waiting a little longer or repositioning. So I hope this helps you, and I hope you take some new ground this week from the enemy, and I hope you stand your ground and don't let him have it back. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539. Or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.